If you've got your Bibles, well, first, before we look at the book of Acts, we'll look back at the Great Commission. And this morning, I want to point out the theme that we're going to build off this morning. 2 weeks ago, we built off the theme that God has authorized us for mission. Last week, we saw that God has called us to go into the world with the message of the gospel. This week, the theme that we're going to try to draw out from the Great Commission is that God challenges us to make disciples. The Great Commission says that very thing. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." 2 weeks ago, when we started this series of looking at the Great Commission, we looked at Paul, as one who in the book of Acts, as we read the book of Acts, not Paul particularly, but we looked in the book of Acts and we saw that God authorizes us. We're going back to the book of Acts today, and we're going to catch the life of Paul. In particular, what I want to have us catch is to see the life change that occurs in Paul. This summer we did a book study. We worked through the book of Galatians. And when we worked through the book of Galatians, I remember the first week we gave an introduction about Paul as the author of Galatians. We talked about Paul as one who once in his life, when he was known as Saul, he hated the church. He did everything he could do to disrupt the work of the church, even to go so far as to work to see the end that Christians were killed. Now it's the same Paul who we find in Acts chapter 9 who is impassioned by the things of God. And because God has gotten a hold of his life is completely different. This morning, as we look at this passage in Acts, my hope is that we would check out 7 different ways in which his life really has this radical change occur in it. This morning, I want to suggest that there are 7 degrees of discipleship. And as I suggest these 7 different degrees of discipleship, my heart isn't to suggest that there's 7 ways that you can do these things to know Christ, that these are 7 different things that will make you a better Christian. I hope you don't hear me say that. But what I do hope is that you hear me suggest these 7 different areas that we're going to look at in Paul's life, that there are ways in which God worked in his life and grew him to be who God wanted him to be. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 7 or Acts chapter 9, we're going to look and we're going to read first verses 17 to 30. And then after we read verses 17 to 30, we're going to point out 7 different ways in which Paul shows us some of the degrees of discipleship that occurred in his life. Picking up at verse 17. "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like the scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And then, taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come in here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." So this morning, as we go through this passage, we're going to pay attention to 7 different ways in which Paul shows us the discipleship that occurred in his life. First one is found at verse 17. Verse 17 says that Paul was filled with the Spirit. Ananias, in the story, he lays his hands on this new believer, and the Spirit falls on Paul. when we come to Christ, it's that same Spirit that falls on us as well. Then there's this life-changing thing that occurs in Paul's life. The passage, it said that Paul's eyes had been blinded. Earlier in this story, if we went back a little bit, we would have seen how Paul's eyes were blinded. As he comes to Christ, the scales that were on his eyes, they were removed from his eyes. They fall to the ground, and he's able to see once again. Spiritually, we can make a comparison for ourselves that when we come to Christ, God reveals to us the things that he has for us as well. Pay attention to the Spirit a little bit more. That Spirit that's in this passage, it is the same exact Spirit that is in our lives if we believe in Jesus Christ as well. And that Spirit works through our Bibles and speaks to us. That Spirit is the same Spirit that assists us as we pray. That Spirit is the Spirit that convicts us of sin. Be encouraged this morning as you hear about the Spirit to allow the Spirit to do the work in your life that it wants to do. We'll go one verse later. We'll check out the next degree of discipleship. Verse 18, Paul gets baptized. Baptism, a topic that can divide a church. And you as a church, you're well aware of that. But the clear thing in this passage that we can't debate at all when it comes to baptism is that Paul gets baptized after he believes. And the message for us as we think about baptism is this, is that if we come to Christ and we haven't been baptized, the encouragement should be that we get baptized. Baptism, it's an instruction given by Jesus Christ to those who believe. Belief and Jesus do the saving work. But in baptism, God shows us what he wants to do in our lives even more. So the encouragement as we think about verse 18 is this. If we haven't been baptized, the encouragement is to be baptized. We'll go on. We'll look at verse 20 as the next degree of discipleship. Verse 20. We find this baptized and Spirit-led Paul getting busy telling others about who Jesus is. Last week, we looked at the account of the woman at the well, and as we looked at the account of the woman at the well, we saw that at one time in her life, she viewed Jesus as a stranger. And then she goes through these stages of learning who Jesus is, and she comes to a point where she believes, and as she believes, she goes and she shares with others what Jesus has done for her. Similarly, the same thing happens in Paul. Paul, he becomes one who trusts in Jesus, and he trusts in Jesus. He goes and he shares the message of the gospel with others. For us, the encouragement is to know that we too are encouraged to preach the gospel to others. And for some, preaching the gospel is going to be up here on the stage. It's going to be that. But for all of us, preaching the gospel is also going to be sharing with people one-on-one what Jesus has done for us. Here's a little bit more about this call to preach. In preaching with others, we're sharing with them the life-changing message found at the cross. Paul in the book of Galatians, at the end of Galatians, he writes that through Jesus, he now has something to brag about. For us, simply as we preach, as we tell others about Jesus Christ, we should remember that because of Jesus, we have something to brag about. And that if we brag about anything else, it's just foolish. Let's go on. Let's talk about the fourth degree of discipleship. We'll skip to verse 21. Verse 21, we find Paul growing. He's growing more mature in his faith. There's this thing that's going on as Paul's growing. There's this audience that's been watching him all along. They've seen the transformation that's occurred in his life. They remember when he was Saul, when he was this guy that was working to end the church. God's Word says this about this audience and their impression about Paul, about who he is now. God's Word says that they were astonished. They're astonished because they remember Paul as this guy who was once working to stifle the church, and now he's working in cooperation with God. And that mere fact has astonished them. You ever have that person back in high school who was just the total person that you didn't like? They were a total jerk. You just couldn't stand that person. You run into them 10, 20 years later, and as you run into them later in life, you're now finding them to be the person that you'd want to have had as a friend. And as you think about that person, you're like, wow, I wish that person was who they were, is now who they were back then. That's what's going on in Paul's life. Paul, he was once this person who no one would have wanted to be their friend. And now he's showing us that through the work of Christ in his life, he is now one that others would want to know. As we grow more and more in Jesus, our prayer for one another should be that this sort of change occurs in one another. I think there's another angle to think about as we think about this astonishment that this group of people had as they look at Paul now in his life. Here's the other angle. We might have some hard thoughts, some heavy hearts toward a particular person. Maybe we've got some stuff that's built up inside of us towards them. Think about God's perspective on that person. God's perspective is that that person can have the same type of life change, a transformation that Paul did. When we think about that, that should really speak to our hearts, that God can do a work in them, and that because of the potential that exists for God to do that work, that we have no right to harbor bad thoughts or hard hearts towards them. Let's go on. Let's talk about the fifth degree of discipleship that we find in this passage. This passage talks about how Paul grew in power and influence. Now, specifically, it's addressing his force for evangelism that he was becoming. I want us to catch just the simple phrase that Saul grew more and more, is what the word says. And as he grew more and more in the things of God, so did the message of the gospel, so did his ability, the hearing of what Jesus had done for others. God wants to do that in each of us. He wants to create in us an ability to be able to more and more share who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Think about somebody, you're running into the store into somebody, and somebody asks you, just randomly, what is it that you believe about God? How awkward would it be if we had nothing to say about what we believed? 1 Peter chapter 3 says this. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you of the reason for the hope that you have. It's a verse telling us to have an answer, not to have particularly a scholarly answer, but to be able to say, why? Why have we chose to believe in Jesus Christ? Let's go on. Let's look at the sixth area of discipleship that we see in Paul. Verse 23. Verse 23 tells us that the Jews conspired to kill him. Saul's Jewish opponents, they planned to assassinate him. They weren't even content to just have him executed legally. They want to assassinate him. And they go so far to work in cooperation even with the local Damascus government. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 clues us in on that. Paul, in this passage, he says this. He says, in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. These folks that wanted Paul eliminated, they go into matters of taking things into their own hands. And they act very much like a vigilante group seeking street justice. Here's the connection for us. I don't think any of us are going to get in line for martyrdom. Maybe if that's what God chose us, that's what we would do. Here's the connection for us, though. These people that want Paul killed, they really want him silenced. They're tired of him sharing the message. The connection for us is this. There might be people who, after we've shared the gospel with them, they want to silence us as well. And as we think about that, if that was to ever happen to us, that might be a good sign indicating to us that we actually are doing what God has asked us to do. Verse 25, also in the scene we looked at, it describes that Paul was lowered in a basket. We'll pick up on that in the last degree of discipleship that we'll point out this morning. In this theme where Paul is lowered in a basket, I want to talk about the escape that occurred. What I do want to settle in on is who assisted him in escaping. We painted a picture of Paul as being one who at one time, he was a wanted man by the Christians. The Christians, they didn't want to be around him. They were scared of him. He brought the fear of death to them. Now it's these same Christians that are helping him escape. Think about the change that's occurred in his life. He is now a part of the brothers in Christ. Verse 30, it clues us in on that very thing. Verse 30, it says that he's looked out for by the brothers. That is an important mark of discipleship because it shows us the community that Paul belonged to. Paul is now one with the rest of the Christian church. The church that at one time was scared of him, he's now their equal. As we think about this theme about community as a part of discipleship, I want to make two points of application for this. First, that as we grow in Christ, we should as well be growing in community with one another. And second, in this account where Paul becomes in relationship with the brothers, it's through the work of Barnabas that helped to incorporate him into the relationship that he had with these brothers. We can do the very same thing. We can do a work of helping others be at home inside the body of Christ, helping others feel like this is their church home. This morning, my heart has been to just name 7 different areas of discipleship that occur in Paul's life. I want to take a quick run through at these seven different areas. We're going to talk about them a little bit more. First one we talked about was that Paul was filled with the Spirit. Then we talked about the fact that Paul was baptized. Then we talked about the fact that Paul goes and he preaches the word to others. Then we talked about the fact that when those who had once known Paul in the past now see him in the present, they're astonished by what God has done in his life. We talked about how Paul was one who grew in faith and grew in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We talked also about how Paul was one who was wanted. He was wanted to be silenced. We talked also about how Paul is now a part of the community. These are 7 areas of discipleship. These aren't the only areas of discipleship that God wants to do in our lives. There's a number of other areas that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us people who pray, who depend upon Him in prayer. He wants to make us people who are good stewards of what He's given to us. That includes supporting the work of the kingdom. Those are areas that aren't, though, included in this passage. So this morning, we're just talking about these 7 because we find these 7 in this passage. I want you to look over this list. You see this list here on the screen. Let's try to make these things personal. Let's make them real for ourselves. Think about the first one. Is God's Spirit doing a work in our life? Are we allowing God's Spirit to do a work in our life? Here's the second one. Have we been baptized? Third one, would we describe ourselves as one who is actively sharing Jesus with others, doing the preaching? Fourth, we talked about how these folks that watched Paul, they watched the transformation that occurred in his life. They were astonished as they saw the change that occurred. Are those around us, are they astonished as they see the work of God actively changing us to be who God wants us to be? Or are we virtually the same now as we were the day that we came to Christ? Here's another one. Are we actively exploring God's Word? The passage here talks about Paul as one who grew in knowledge. Are we growing in the things of God? Here's another one. Paul, he was on the run. People wanted him silenced. Are people wanting us silenced as well as we share who Jesus is? Then the last one. Are we in community? Are we part of the body of Christ? Are we really growing in the body of Christ? These are 7 areas of discipleship. And if I said that we all should answer yes to these, if I said that any of us answer yes to all of these, I think I'd be wrong. I don't think any of us could answer yes to all of these. And that's not to be a downer. That's to be an encouragement. That's to encourage us to know that God wants to do a growing work in each of our lives. I went to a seminar a number of years ago. The seminar was a seminar for youth pastors. It was a seminar on helping us establish a 4-year plan of what we wanted to teach our students. At the seminar, the presenter, he gave us an image kind of like that. There was an outline of that person, and inside the outline of the person, you probably can't see the words, but there was a number of topics there, topics like teaching students to know the difference between the creation account and between the evolution account. Teaching students to be able to defend that. Teaching students what it means to know the story of the gospel. Teaching students to be people who pray. Teaching people to be people who know how to study God's Word. On and on. You could fill up a person's life with different topics that describe the discipling work that God wants to do in us. Presenter then shared a second picture. The second picture, same outline of a person, but inside that, there was nothing. There were no topics. I think you get the point. The point is, in the first one, you see a picture that resembles what it means to be a person who's growing in the things of God. The second picture shows the total opposite. It shows a person who hasn't been discipled by God. God's heart is to do a work in us, to change us, to make us more to be the person that He wants us to be. And that means that God has to do a work of discipling us to get us there. And that discipling work that God wants to do, it is an ongoing, never-ending work that will take us all the way till we see heaven. Someone once told me that if we're going to invest our lives into someone else and to disciple them, which, by the way, I think we've made a strong case that all of us are called to disciple other people, That if we're going to disciple someone, we can only take them as far as we've been ourselves. So let's just say we can measure spirituality. I don't think we can, but let's say that we're spiritually this deep in our commitment to Christ, up to our knees. If we're that deep, that spiritually deep in our commitment to Christ, then if we get the opportunity to disciple someone else, and we're the only one that pours himself into them, that saying, that quote, that suggests that the farthest that person is going to get is as well up to their knees in the depth of the relationship with Jesus Christ. God doesn't want to just bring us filled up to our knees. He wants to fill all of us with everything that he has for us. God in his grace sent Jesus to the cross to die for each one of us, to rise in death over sin. God in his grace doesn't want to just give us that very moment. He wants to keep giving us more and more and more beyond the cross. The encouragement that I hope that we hear this morning is that Paul, he shows us how he grew. His account in this passage in Acts, it shows us the different ways in which Paul grew. The encouragement is for us to recognize that each one of us has some growing that God wants to do in each of our lives. I think I could have shared this morning's message in three sentences, and I'll give you these three sentences. And this will be the last thing that I share with you this morning. I want you to think about these three sentences as three sentences which reflect the attitude that a believer might have about their perspective on what God wants to do in their lives. Here's the first one. It's the perspective of a believer that sees that God has poured out himself through Jesus on the cross for us. Here's the second perspective. It's that at the cross, God wants to keep pouring himself more and more into us. That's the second perspective. And here's the third one. That the cross, as we live in the cross, God wants to keep pouring himself out into us so that we can overflow into others. As you think about those three sentences, I think those three sentences sum up different attitudes about discipleship. Which one do you think is the one that God wants us to be going after? And which one do you think is the one that best represents who you are in Christ? I hope you see that God, this account in Acts, it shows us how God has poured himself out for us and how he wants to keep pouring himself out into us so that we do overflow into others. Let's make that our prayer, that we would be discipled by Jesus Christ, and that as we're discipled by Jesus Christ, our hearts would be wanting to share what God has done for us and what he's done in us with others.